This podcast does contain spoilers, so if you're okay with that, listen on. If not, pause the podcast, go watch the movie we're about to talk about, and come on back.
All right, sweet.
Excuse me.
Brian, over here. Hey.
Pardon me.
Why don't you have the popcorn? It's starting!
Woo!
Hey!
Shut up and listen to the podcast. Hey!
There's a lot out there to see. This is what we watched.
God, Firefly's so good. Jeff, you should watch Firefly.
I should watch it again. I just finished How I Met Your Mother, so I need a new show.
You've seen Firefly, but you don't like it. You never reference
it.
No,
I like it.
I don't know, man.
I mean, I've only seen it once through, I think just once through, yeah.
How?
And it was probably...
The second that it ended, I was like, I have to see this again.
It's not how I roll.
It definitely it looks like an old, cheap sci-fi.
I mean, it looks like that classic time era, it looks like the era it came out in, which is totally fine to me. But I do like the story and stuff. It's just, it is a bummer that it didn't go longer.
Such a bummer.
Like okay, they left so many, they just had to answer questions so fast.
I know. I agree with you. This is what we watched.
Yes, this is a movie review podcast. This is for movie lovers, for TV lovers. And it's also for those who like imaginary friends. We're not talking if. We're not talking John Krasinski's If, Imaginary Friends. We are talking Jojo Rabbit, which is about an imaginary friend in a way.
Ooh, do you think Taika Waititi could sue John Krasinski? That'd be awesome. I mean, I can't imagine it, but that would be so much fun.
Instead of suing, I would just want Taika's Hitler in If. I want that to be.
Ooh, that'd be fun. See, I want Taika in court arguing why it's the same in Hitler
as
costume.
As Hitler.
Yeah.
I think that
but after Hitler shot himself, he has to have the blood on his head.
yes, totally. Great effect. Dude, it was such a good. Anyways, but Firefly, yeah.
I'm also very upset that it only got one season. I want to live in a different timeline where we get more.
it's interesting watching it, and because there's just the episodes are kind of connected, but not super connected. So you could definitely switch it, like when they first came out and they put the second episode first for whatever stupid reason that was. But the end episodes, like it ends on the guy sneaking onto the ship, which I weirdly love that episode just because I love how the guy like talks and delivers. And I could listen to him just like read the phone book, frankly, and whatever.
Was this like the assassin dude?
Yes.
Am I remembering that right?
The best line ever, where she's like, "Are you a lion?" And he goes, "I've never thought of myself as a lion." I don't know why. It's just so random. And he's just a weirdo. And I'm like, I don't understand what this character is.
Because he's a psychopath. That's why.
I know.
And he's awesome. He's so much fun to watch.
It's so funny. Anyways.
So
speaking of
what we watched, what did we watch? What I feel like I've been catching up on Fallout to finish out that series. I caught up on The Boys, so I'm 100% caught up as to where they are right now.
Ooh. The Boys.
And then that's the it. Boys. I've watched our movies that we're going to be talking about for Movie Club for this month. And hopefully this week I'll have some time to go to the theater and see some new stuff. But besides that, that's all I've got.
I think this week's going to be Apple TV week for me. I'm going to try and catch up on some Apple
Silo?
Shows. Yes, that is the one that's going to be the first one.
Watch it.
Especially, I'm just going to be sitting here. Honestly, you know what's probably going to happen? I'm going to sit here for 2 weeks. Because for people who don't know, I'm in a hotel room working for 2 weeks. I'm going to make a bunch of games, I think. Honestly, that's what I bet you is going to end up happening. So I'm going to sit there and make a bunch of games.
I'm fine with
watching, this. Watching like Silo. And then there's... I really want to catch up on the Harrison Ford one.
And then Shrinking?
Yes. I think there's other good ones also that people love.
I like how you thought of that as the Harrison Ford one, not the Jason Segel one.
I couldn't think of his name. The pause was, who in that show do I remember the name of? So yeah. Harrison Ford was the only one, and I couldn't think of Jason Segel.
Segel.
Seagal.
We only did a whole movie on him.
No, I hear you. Hey, homie, I guarantee you we could watch one of the movies previously.
No, trust me.
Have a whole conversation.
I had a moment. It just passed by silently because when I said Silo to you, I was like, yeah, with Rebecca Ferguson. I had to like think about it for a second.
Is there two seasons out or one season out?
I think just one. But they're leading on to a second.
Nice. I'm fine with that.
Spoiler.
Thanks for that.
But who knows who dies?
Rebecca Ferguson.
If somebody dies,
somebody's going to die.
Everything's ruined. I'm not going to watch it now. Thanks a lot,
Jeff. The Silo dies.
What are they going to live in next season?
Igloo.
The pyramid.
The sequel to Silo, Igloo.
Silo adjacent.
Dude, I'd be down with like a gigantic city made out of ice, like blocks though. Not necessarily just like, oh, doesn't it look like ice? But like ice sculptures, like the like in the freaking tent at the Gaylord. Ice sculptures, mm-hmm. The wall looks like that textured igloo. I'd be down for that. That'd be sweet.
We'll call it Igloo.
All right,
we'll call it done.
All right.
We'll call it done. All right. Well, that was it for this week.
Well, yeah, cool. Thanks for stopping by. Thanks. Seriously, thank you everyone for listening, for stopping by, for watching us on YouTube, for listening wherever you get your podcasts. For those who don't know, we're everywhere. We've got lots of social media, so come check
everywhere.
Us out. Last week on Movie Club, started our war month with 1917. With Jeff's pick. It's only Jeff's pick because he asked it. I presented it as a topic. Jeff's like, well, then it's 1917, 100%.
I mean, I was looking for excuses to use it for a while.
I was
going to weasel it in somewhere.
It is funny. It is funny that like whenever somebody picks the theme, it ends up being like everyone runs the movie by them kind of because it was like Jeff picked 1917 and I was like, oh, is Brandon gonna fight? And then you're like, oh, as long as that's cool, Brandon's like, cool. And then I was like, well, I'm gonna either go something else or Jojo Rabbit, but I assume Brandon's gonna want Jojo Rabbit. And then you didn't know, so I was like, oh, I'm taking Jojo Rabbit then. That's easy. We just work down the line of
right,
movies.
Exactly.
All,
it's like,
all
right,
all
this
of
is,
us
this is my number one pick, but if I can't get this one, I'll get today we're talking Jojo Rabbit. Next week we're gonna finish out War Month with Full Metal Jacket.
Woo! I'm watching that tonight.
Nice.
I guess I have to. Yeah,
I know. I have to.
Yeah, I watched it yesterday before work, and that was an interesting way to go into work for sure.
No spoilers. I don't want to know how you feel about it yet.
I was gonna say, Jeff's never seen it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Don't point your finger at me.
I've seen it once. I don't know why I'm so pointy. I got my grape coffee with me. I've seen it. I want to say I've seen it like once, maybe twice, but that's a doubt. Like I see enough clips, I feel like. So I think I remember it, but it's gonna be interesting. I'm excited to watch it again because I'm not really positive.
Cool. I'm excited. Very excited to talk about that one. But today we're talking Taika Waititi's 2019 Oscar-winning Jojo Rabbit. Which I'm so excited that it won for what it did. So it was nominated for 6 Oscars. Do you guys know what he won for?
I think it was had to have been screenplay or
adapted
something.
Adapted screenplay,
It was, adapted screenplay.
Adapted.
I know because
it's based on a real character, Hitler.
No, because it's based on a real book.
Yes.
Is it? Okay.
It was a whole thing because I was going to bring it up with Barbie in comparison and be like, oh, if this is that because of this.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, it turns out it's like a book that he was like, God, what did he say? Because I read it was a fact or trivia or something like that he was like, he kept the characters from the book and then that's about it. Obviously, Hitler wasn't in it. You know, that was obviously...
Right.
Yeah.
Taika.
He's like, I don't have a part to play unless I put Hitler in. So obviously, we got to have Hitler. But it was based on the book Caging Skies by Christine Luenens.
Yeah, totally, dude. Totes.
I agree. Yeah.
Nailed that one.
Nailed it.
Because it's about a young Austrian member of the Hitler Youth who finds out that his parents are hiding a young Jewish girl in their house during World War II. So, you know, pretty terrifying stuff if you think the context, but
yeah, Taika definitely like was like, hey, I want to make a, you know, emotional, dramatic coming of age story about a boy in war. Oh yeah, yeah, totally. Also, he's gonna have imaginary friend Hitler, and it's gonna be fucking hilarious. I'm like, okay. The last little bit definitely makes it Taika. It's just, yeah, I don't know. It's just, I really was really excited to watch this. I feel like I haven't watched this a ton since it came out in 2019. So like,
I was gonna say, I don't think I've seen it since theaters.
Freaking went up against all 1917. We can just go through this Oscars again, like we did on 1917. It's all the same. It's all the same people.
Yep, all the same.
But it was, God, it was everything that I remembered it. And I really like, I did a little bit of research on like ratings and stuff, and I was looking at it and people don't love it. And it's interesting. I'm wondering if it got the same knock as like Joker did when we watched Joker and loved Joker and was like, how is this not the most popular thing? And it was just like, it kind of came out at a weird time and people, I don't know, were like rubbed the wrong way about the context and stuff, because this is some deep shit. This is some like really deep shit.
Well, and also I think that, I mean, kind of same with Joker, where Joker had a lot of, you know, undertones of reality and dealt with a lot of like political leanings and kind of, you know, a lot of talks about how society is. And Jojo Rabbit is very satirical. Like it's 100% a satire, and satires can be very polarizing and turn a lot of people off. And it's surprising to me how many people don't understand what satire is and how, you know, it's okay. You can poke fun at a lot of these kind of, you know, horrifying events, because if not, then you're taking them too seriously and you're giving that time or that event or whatever it is too much power.
Yeah. I think he said somewhere, he was like, I made it because people, after the war, everyone said never forget. But then recently I've been watching a lot of things happening that it really seems like we all forgot really what it was. And, but God, Taika has such a good, like, style to add humor into freaking everything.
Yeah. Well, he does something that very few people do well, and I compare his writing and directing style similar to the Daniels's, because they combine like serious like thematic elements with like absurd comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And use, like, you know, at the end of it you're laughing, but also like you can be crying about it too. Like there's hard moments in this movie.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
It's so interesting to see the Taika can do so many different styles, because this didn't like it. It's got Taika's fingerprints all over it. It feels like Taika, but it's not Taika's style. Like camera wise. Right. He absolutely did Wes Anderson. 100%.
Oh, dude, I was literally have a note about that. There's like a pan over and then a pan back. And
The first part is Moonrise Kingdom, isn't it? Am I crazy? Is it not?
That, or I was going to say, it's very Edgar Wright style as well, where like with the quick cutting and the inserts.
I was going to say, there
and,
are, you know, definitely
quick zoom ins.
There are definitely that transition. I really liked one of the transitions. I forgot where it was. I'm never going to find it in my notes. But we traveled like a long distance and it was three quick, like it felt like Edgar Wright.
I think I know which one you're talking about, with exiting the house after Scarlett Johansson as the mom.
Yes.
She's like, you know, it's very dangerous or whatever it was, extremely dangerous. And, you know, then it's cut. And then we're all the way across town and we're talking to Sam Rockwell.
Is that a Shaun of the Dead quote? Like, do you think they said that in the movie and that was an homage to it? Because that one shocked
maybe.
Me. If he's like, we gotta be careful because it's very dangerous or some crap like that. Not crap.
Yeah.
It's a really good movie. I like it. That's just my filler word. That would be cool if it was. It would be interesting. Mm-hmm. But I think it is impressive when we watch Taika and like him doing other styles, because we see a lot of, you know, God, Christopher Nolan, you know, these guys. And it's just like, it's impressive when we see some of the camera flex, because it looked gorgeous. I thought it really felt like Wes Anderson. I don't think, you know, he didn't do a disservice to Wes Anderson. I thought he portrayed his style pretty damn well. And God, it's just so, it's impressive on a
like
technical
another
side.
Shot that even just sticks out to me is one when like a, like the Scarlett Johansson's character like explains to him that love is when you have butterflies in your stomach, and the shot of him having butterflies in his stomach is literally just like a mask over.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes. It's just like it's like 100%. A little tilt down, and then you just see them, and I'm just like, that was so Wes Anderson. But
so
like...
Wes Anderson. Absolutely.
But it was great.
Yeah. And, this is a blend of like, picking his favorite bits from other directors or other filmmakers, and just kind of mashing it together, while infusing it with his own satirical, mm-hmm. you know, really hard pressed and sometimes dry humor. But I didn't remember this being as funny as it was. Like, I remember seeing it in theaters that year, that winter, and for the award season. And I remember the theater was like, you know, mostly positive, but I definitely didn't laugh at as many scenes or laugh at as much as I was entertained by it.
Your experience wasn't as great as mine, dude. I remember laughing a lot. And then like during the big moments with Scarlett Johansson's character, it was dead silent in the theater. Like, it was
that
like,
I do remember as well. I totally forgot about that as well.
Yeah.
I completely forgot that plot point happened.
What?
It's honestly one of the most powerful when she dies.
Oh my God, dude. That's like, I watched the shoes the entire time, like all of the shoes leading up, which is so exciting. I so desperately want to edit this film and show the shoes that they centered to the extent.
Well,
I don't know if you're going to
it. They definitely planted those shots throughout the entire thing so that you'd recognize the shoes and that composition.
Because there's that one shot outside, and it's when Scarlett Johansson's on like the ledge or whatever, walking right before they steal the bikes. Mm-hmm. And she has this big line, this big something, and I can't remember, this emotional line, and she's not in frame at all, but her shoes are. And I remember thinking, I was like, what interesting framing. Mm-hmm. Like, a big star, you'd want to make sure that she's in frame, or, you know, what is the focus here? And I was just taking notes and just, you know, kind of going along, and I had just completely forgotten. And we got to that scene, you know, that reveal, and I went, oh, that's why, because that's the moment, right? That's how he's going to insinuate who it is. And I love this from the IMDb trivia, and I'm going to pull from this because, again, I didn't have a lot of time because I've been watching so much recently.
I have a bunch of IMDb
but he had said that he didn't he doesn't like the idea. Sorry, what?
Nothing. Go ahead.
What?
Oh. He said, I don't like the idea of seeing people hang, right? And he also says that seeing a dead loved one is an intimate thing, and we as the audience didn't have permission to see what JoJo saw. And I think that's extremely powerful and really an interesting kind of perspective to do it, because if you're putting people in the perspective of your main character, you usually want to have us see what they see. But in this instance, he chose to stay back and allow the character to have his own moment at his own, you know, time without us. And I kind of want to get your thoughts on that.
I mean, interesting, because I feel like we did zoom out and you did see her full body, but like not close up, and definitely not from his POV. Definitely. But the frame, which I also wrote down, that I think the frame of him standing up and looking at the shoes, I think should be somewhere in, you know, freaking film hall of fame forever. It's cemented somewhere. Cause that is a gorgeous framing, and like what it means in the movie, it's film history. But I do really like it. I don't know if when I watched it, I sat there and went, oh, I'm glad that, you know, we're not part of this intimate moment, but I enjoyed watching the kid experience it, rather than us experience, because I didn't need it.
Yeah.
I don't need like it, not necessarily like it gives us a little like shield. Oh, who knows what happened? Blah, blah, blah. Anything. That's just like, I know what happened. You explained it perfectly. You don't need to give me the extra information. Well, and I would love to watch this kid. And I thought it was such a great decision.
I just like the way they held on that shot too. Like, and held on that moment. Like, I didn't need cuts. Like, they just let us bask in that like really like awful moment for this kid's, like character, like
right,
just like that's all we needed, and like, and audience feels it.
Oh, and I think dude, you both hit the nail right on the fucking head. Like, that moment was so much more powerful because we didn't get any other cuts, we didn't see anyone else's faces, we didn't, you know, jump around a whole lot. It was that moment, and you know, Yeah. Taika made us like stay with that uncomfortableness. He let that sink in. He made sure that everyone understood was happening.
Well, I think
and then the very next thing we see is a bunch of houses that look like eyes and look like judging and looking down on, and just these properties that these buildings that have just seen so much horror and so much misery and warfare and killing, unnecessary murder.
Yeah. Well, on top of that, like still with that scene, like I think it's more powerful the way they did it too, and it's clever too, because all we ever see Scarlett Johansson's character in is her being silly and like her, that character, you're seeing her full of like life and everything. Mm-hmm. And we don't get to see her in that other
it's
not
very
full
true.
Of life.
It's the only time we saw her.
Yeah, so it's like it's a shocking idea to like, there's almost like an anticipation of like, oh fuck, I don't want to see her in another way, kind of thing. It's just like, it's just very interesting psychologically, I think.
Yep.
Oh, it totally is, because I mean, you're right. We really only see her being a goofball and being a really good mom and able to have fun with her kid and make life a lot easier to swallow than, you know, being stern and strict and, you know, shoving the world in his face. But she's also able to help teach him lessons and actually help progress him as a human being and him as a character. So to see that literal light extinguish, because, you know, with the color palette and with the angles and framing and everything, also looks darker and dimmer as well from then on out. But especially in that moment is such a jarring effect. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing. And I totally echo and agree with Matt that that's one of the greatest reveals ever, period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it hits. Yeah. And like, for some reason too, like I noticed it this time around, because I think this was like my second viewing of this movie. But when that entire exterior scene leading up to him finding her out there started, it was a different color palette than when we've seen him out in the town before. Like before, it was a lot more livelier colors and warmer. And then this time it was a bit cooler. And it just like felt a little off all of a sudden when he went outside. Mm. Like something felt off. Mm-hmm. And then it leads up to that point. So I thought that was very cool too.
And I think they were planting that the shoe stuff even more than just, you know, Scarlett Johansson scene where she's dancing on the wall and everything. Like the framing for when JoJo comes into the house is centered on the shoe rack. Like the center of it, that's the bottom of the frame a little bit, like the bottom third of the center is the shoe rack. They talk about him not being able to tie a shoe. That's a thing. She ties her shoe all the time. And then even in the scene, he started like to tie her shoe and then stopped and stuff. And beyond just the decisions at the moment, I think the lead up to it was beautiful as well.
They also dropped some foreshadowing with the lines that I noticed earlier, because when they first see the three people hanging in the very beginning, she just says they did what they could. Sure. And then there's even the scene when she's portraying like her husband Paul and herself in that sort of scene or whatever. But she said like as Paul, she like says to she's like says Rosie's doing what she could or doing what she can.
Oh, I didn't
realize
that.
I picked up that line and I was like, ooh, that's a huge foreshadowing. Like
And speaking of that, of the first hanging scene, like Rosie even, you know, makes JoJo, like, he tries to pull away and like move on from this moment too quickly, and Rosie herself like pulls him in. And I kind of want to go back and watch this again and time those two scenes out and see if it's the same time, you know, and when that becomes uncomfortable, because JoJo starts to leave and she goes, no, like, you need to look, and just, you know, forces him to watch, which is also extremely powerful as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very. I did also find it interesting. This might be like small potatoes, I don't know, but like when we see those three people hanging in the beginning, all their hands are tied behind their backs. But when we cut to the wide of Scarlett Johansson's character, her hands aren't tied.
Aren't they?
They're at her sides.
Oh.
So that, I thought that's interesting. I don't know what that's necessarily implying or anything.
That also might be an actor safety thing. I don't know if they did a dummy or they just were like, hey, hang here for a sec. Not honestly from her neck, but you know,
just hold your breath. We'll let you, we won't tie your hands.
Yeah.
You gotta swim through the porthole. Then you got to grab the dude. Then you got to swim out.
Method
and take
acting.
Off your goggles too. Do it blind.
Yeah, but I mean, like, and one of the things that makes the whole, like, that scene so powerful is all of the humor and all of, like, the the rest of the story leading up to it of this. Because I honestly, one of my favorite things about this, and I say about, I say this about, like, the Joker and some other things, is it's a movie with just a weird skin. Sometimes I feel like people make weird movies about the weird thing, kind of, you know, like, just, you know, the skin or whatever is just what you add on to it. It's a coming of age story of this boy in, you know, the middle of Germany in this war. And it's like, he's having a legit, like, kind of breakdown and he's learning what love is and he's all this stuff. Ooh. But then he, you slap this weird ass dark humor on top of it. And it, instead of it being about the dark humor, being about, you know, the Nazis necessarily, it's about the kid. And then also this cool shit's happening too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, it is. It turns the coming of age genre kind of on its head a little bit, because it puts so much other existential, I wouldn't say bullshit, but there's other existential crap on top of it. And it really does. It makes it just so much more interesting to watch, because it's like, all right, well, we know what growing up feels like. We've seen it a million times. You know, we know what, you know, movies can do and how powerful they can be when it comes to allowing an awkward kid to kind of be able to come out of a shell and find his own, you know, place in the world. But then how are we going to do this when it's in the middle of World War II, when he is, you know, basically brainwashed into the Hitler youth camp?
Yeah.
Makes it so much more entertaining to watch.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I remember when I first heard about this movie, I was reading one of those articles that are like, oh, hey, I think somebody like was changing power maybe, or like there was a new boss at Sony or some crap. And in the article, they were like, oh, yeah, he's cutting a bunch of projects. These are gone. What we hear is Taika Waititi's Nazi comedy is still in the works. I was like, what the fuck?
I was like, what were the word combinations that you
I was
said?
Like, excuse me, Taika Waititi is making a comedy about Nazis? Yeah. And I'm so, hey,
springtime for Hitler.
It was a million times better than I thought it was gonna be.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think this was the first movie I saw of Taika Waititi's. I didn't see anything else. This is the one that I saw his name and I was like, whoa, this guy, like, this was really good. And then I started paying attention to him after that.
What was
I definitely
time-wise?
Will say that this is probably when I started paying attention to him. Let me see when.
What We Did in the Shadows. I saw that when I was in like Arizona, maybe. I saw that in theaters. And I was like, who the
That's
fuck
awesome.
Is this guy?
I think I saw What We Do in the Shadows after Jojo Rabbit, actually.
I did for sure.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, I saw it in like, it was me and one other person in a random theater in like Arizona in 2014.
Yeah, so you're right. Actually, this might have been the first one of his that I saw as well. Mm. Now that I'm looking at it,
yeah, I was like, Hunt for the Wilder People and What We Do in the Shadows Deep. I think I'm pretty sure, because I like him.
Or you know what? That might be a lie, because Thor Ragnarok came out before this, but I don't know if I necessarily. I don't know. Now it's getting mixed up in my head. Either way, Taika's
cool.
Oh,
yeah, shit, you're right. Thor, right, never mind. I was looking at producer. I forgot that IMDb did that.
Dude, director isn't even one of the freaking topics. You had to delete one and add in director.
That's really irritating.
You guys are ridiculous. You guys are fools.
I just forgot what year it was. I forgot where in the timeline I was.
And it's so interesting. Like, I don't know. I like when he does this. He did this like kind of recently with Love and Thunder, Taika, where he kind of just like mashed two topics that are kind of just, you know, the superhero, and he made just like what it felt like a rom-com, like a cheesy rom-com superhero version of it. And I personally, you know, enjoyed it, but I feel like this is a similar thing what he was trying to do and just nobody bought on. Granted, you know, it's a 7.9 on IMDb, which isn't awful. The freaking the Metascore for Jojo Rabbit is like in the 60s or 58.
That feels way too low.
Metascore 68, which is supposed to be the critics, is a 58 out of 100 hypothetically.
What?
58? No, that's way too low.
Jeez.
Yeah, they're like, oh, swing and a miss.
These critics don't know what art is.
I know, idiots, right? Now, are we going to rate this now, or are you going to put a number on art? I can't imagine.
Let's put our accurate number on art. Yeah, and this didn't do super well on the box office as well. Like, I mean, it didn't do poorly. Worldwide, it got almost $93.5 million. So off a $14 million budget, I mean, it definitely made money.
Yeah.
And unless they spent the most advertising ever, which I don't really think it did in 2019.
Yeah, I remember seeing some advertising stuff, but...
No, not much, but then again, the FYC, For Your Consideration campaigns are usually, you know, those I'm sure can get expensive as well.
Oh, I mean, do you think they were campaigning a bunch for that?
I think so.
I know they won stuff, and I'm sure they campaigned, but it doesn't feel like I don't know, maybe they sunk a bunch of money in being like, this would be hilarious. I kind of want to jump into acting and see how you guys feel about the acting and the characters and stuff. But one of the most important things of like, this movie has to work. This has to work for the movie to work is I think you have to love this kid. The lead actor has to do amazing. And I personally thought he like knocked it out of the fucking park.
He was
exceptional. Phenomenal.
Like holy the banter shit. With Adolf and stuff like that. God, and just like,
oh, absolutely. I mean,
he was on.
He was so on. He was able to be, I mean, two different characters to me, really. I mean, he was, you know, this methodical kind of thinker and, you know, this planner and really, you know, understood where he was and what he was supposed to do. But then he was also a fucking kid, like a dork and someone who like, you know, stumbles around and gets picked on and is kind of super awkward and is unsure, is very, you know, but also like he plays scared really well. Like after he gets out of the hospital, you know, he's like really timid, extremely timid, getting, you know, starting to come out of the house and interacting with the other kids. I thought was just absolute brilliance from this guy.
Some of the line deliveries. Oh my god!
Oh yeah. Even
some of the gestures, like comedy. When Waititi keeps offering him cigarettes, there's one when they're just pacing and he just waves it off. Like
yes.
Like it was just those little things are just perfect. He did it so well.
God,
stop offering me cigarettes. I'm 10.
The banter with him and Taika was fantastic. And I wanted more Hitler. Quote, Matt, I wanted more Hitler.
I'm back.
It's fantastic. I love also that Hitler is like nowhere close to like the real Hitler, which I saw a quote from Taika. I'm going to skip the one that he, profanity one. But they asked him about, were like, did you feel it necessary? Like, did you do any research or anything on Hitler before you played him? And he's like, I looked at a movie on like, you know, to buy. And then I thought I'm going to put money towards this dude. And then I didn't think he was important enough to research. So I did zero research because fuck that guy. And it was just like, I just love that little twist on top. He's like, oh, other people would be like, oh, we got to make it accurate. He's got to have the correct colored eyes. And Dyke was like, fuck that guy. It's imaginary friend. We're gonna have a blast, guys. Calm down.
That's get in the brilliant.
Truck. We're gonna go make a movie.
But also, I think that it works. I mean, so well on multiple levels. I mean, there was the one scene where Taika's Hitler got kind of angry, and it was like, oh shit, awkward. Taika can turn this on a little bit, and he can get a little intense. And I thought that was interesting as well to start. Mm-hmm. But then, like, you know, you're thinking that. Again, this is a 10-year-old kid who's super awkward, who's super, you know, ostracized, and, you know, has made up his own version of Hitler. So it totally works. Like, it
Sorry, it doesn't like need dad. To be. It's his dad.
Yeah.
It's a Hitler version of his dad.
Right.
Well, like, what he thinks his dad is, you know, that left to go help or whatever, he thinks was fighting in the war, but in reality, he's not. He's, you know, trying to free Jews and stuff. But so in his, you know, what... The JoJo wants to be like his dad, and his imaginary friend is basically a Hitler version of his dad, realistically.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, or, you know, if it is, who this 10-year-old kid is idolizing, you know, if it is Hitler, then it doesn't need to be who Hitler is, because that, and it totally works for what Taika was doing, and, you know, hey, fuck it, I'm not going to do research if it's not accurate. Who the fuck cares? Hey, fuck that guy. But then you think about it again from that perspective is like, it doesn't need to, because this kid's not going to know everything about, you know, what Hitler sounds like or what he does, or,
you know, right?
He's going to get rumors. He's going to get a whole bunch of misinformation from it. Like, it absolutely was fucking perfect.
Yeah. You guys may have
Hitler
heard.
Was eating unicorn.
Yes. Oh, God. It was so funny, too. Yeah, the comedy. Other actors, small parts, a couple small parts that I want to shout out. Stephen Merchant. I thought he did good as the Gestapo. Really tall person.
The really tall one.
Oh, my gosh.
Hail Hitler.
The Heil.
Heil Hitler
seven
all
times
over the place.
Everybody.
I thought it was hilarious. I saw
that. Honestly, was a gag that I was expecting you guys, at least one of you, to say I got sick of, and because I laughed my ass off the entire time. Like, midway through the first Heil, I was like, okay, you know, whatever, that's funny and everything. And then Sam Rockwell shows up and they both do it, and I went, I fucking love this. This is hilarious.
Well, they cut in such a way too. They cut back and forth between every person saying Hail Hitler every single time.
It was quick paced, and it was like, it still felt like half of them were still like in the real world, and then the other half were kind of like, hey, oh, but it was like the Gestapo being like, you know, we're idiots anyways. So Steve Merchant, great. Reek from
Game of Thrones. I wanted to bring that up too, because I was like, oh, two movies with Stark brothers this month. It's like,
this is Game of Thrones month. Hey,
I didn't even realize that.
We'll do some research on Full Metal Jacket. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Da, 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 da.
I thought he was funny. Like, really small part. Really smart part. Being Sam Rockwell's partner or whatever. Again, Sam Rockwell killed it.
Crushed. Yeah, that last scene with him too, man.
Dude, all that
so good. Powerful.
All the acting was fantastic.
So good.
My only issue would be some weird ass accents, you know, and also 100% English for everybody, but you know, whatever.
Thank you.
I'm
Thank
okay
you.
With it.
I wanted to say, I had a note to ask you guys if it bugged you that
I don't give a shit. Brandon.
I knew it wasn't going to bug you guys, but like there was a
title card in the front.
About half a percent of me is like, if only, but. Again, this one with it being such a satire, with you know, knowing what kind of movie it is, it really wasn't a deterrent or a detraction from my score at all.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff.
Now I so desperately want to sneak into Brandon's house, steal his DVDs, burn them, edit them, and then reburn it onto the same DVD. You have to be able to, right? I'm sure they have like locks and stuff, so you can't change stuff online. No, right? I don't know. I'll figure this around. This will be hilarious. Just randomly editing DVDs in Brandon's collections. Sorry, I listened to nothing what you were saying, Brandon. I apologize. God, that would be so funny. Could I do that?
That was stuck in his head. Well, thing with burning them is like you're literally printing, I think, the media onto the disc. So it's not like it's a file holder or something. Yeah.
I'll figure it out. I'll copy the
Blu-rays might be different.
Maybe I just have to. I just have to match the. I'll contact the people. Hey, Taika, can you send me a blank copy of Jojo Rabbit on DVD, please, so then I can edit my own version. I'm sure he'd be cool with that. All right. Anyway,
it's gonna have more shoes.
The acting was fantastic. Sam Rockwell. God, we love him in everything. Three Billboards. Because I think. I saw somewhere that he had a fact that he was one of like only a certain amount of people who have been in back-to-back years of Best Picture nominations with Three Billboards and then Jojo Rabbit. Nice. I forgot the movie we were talking about. But he's fantastic. His character, interesting. Like, I thought it was pretty funny. All the funny stuff in the beginning was funny. And then it kind of took a turn that was...
It
not
got real
really,
towards the end.
Not really projected. I like where it was, like the turn. I can't really be like, you know, it kind of came out of left field. I saw somewhere in the trivia that they were like, if you look at the medals that he actually has, he is legitimately a decorated
Captain
veteran
or something.
Like, oh, yeah, he's got like multiple hand-to-hand combat medals. Mm-hmm. He's got, you know, saving people's medals. If you look at the medals he has, assuming they're real medals, not like, you know, he could be wearing some fake ones, but...
That's-
I like that thought that he is actually a really good soldier.
That gives more depth to that character then, because when you put that into perspective, when we first see him, he's just like doesn't give a shit and like makes it, you start to think he's not really invested in this war.
Mm-hmm. He's an idiot.
And then,
yeah.
And then, but then also later, when the big turning point that I feel like was that I noticed was when they're searching the house, and he knew right from the start that that was not
as soon as she was like, daughter. I was Inga or whatever.
Yeah,
and he like, was like, excuse me.
Yeah,
yeah. He's like, are you sure? Like,
that was super interesting. Yeah, yeah, that was great.
Mm-hmm. Rockwell crushed it, but then so did Inga, so did oh my gosh, where is my page?
Well, Elsa's her character name, and then Thomasin McKenzie.
Thomasin McKenzie. Mm-hmm. She crushed it as well. All the kids I thought were great. His best friend was hilarious as well.
Yorkie.
He was such like a weird like adult child. It was just so
just
funny.
The way he hugs him and stuff too is like little leg comes up, dude, and just like, it was just like, I loved this character.
It's so cute. Like it felt like he had an entire like, you know, work day. He's literally in the army doing stuff. Yeah. And then he sees JoJo and everything drops. And he's just like,
and he just
let me take a couple minutes out of carrying rocket launchers and shit to be like, oh, hey.
Yeah.
Remember you when?
Classic Yorkie dropping the bazooka to wave.
At the very end when he's like, I need a cuddle.
I love his one line that I wrote down that was our only friends are the Japanese now, and between you and me, they don't look very Aryan anymore.
He has a bunch of lines.
Oh, he has so many good ones.
So
they
many
told
good
me it
ones.
Was like paper like.
Yeah. Yes.
That kid did fantastic. I want to jump back to what's her face?
Thomasin
Scarlett McKenzie? Johansson?
Not Scarlett Johansson. Well, we'll get to Scarlett Johansson after, but
Thomasin McKenzie?
That one, sure. how I thought her acting was really good, but I'm wondering, because Brandon, you saw her in whatever the last thing she was. You saw her in at least one thing. You've seen her in Last Night in Soho. She was in
Eileen.
Yes, Eileen.
Oh, I did not see her in Eileen.
So you guys have to tell me about the acting. Is this just like the role for her and her acting is all right? Or is she a good actor? Because she was just friends with Taika.
I think she's a good actress. Like she has like some funny quips and mannerisms and like a way that she says things in this film. Whereas at least in Last Night in Soho was like a complete flip. Like it was kind of like a horror and she was like played... anxiety driven character and
In Eileen she plays quiet very well and very kind of like always thinking and maybe not, you know, always expressive with her actions, but she's got a really interesting like thinking face. So she plays quiet and still extremely well, but I think this definitely was like the perfect role for her.
Yeah, I'm just surprised we haven't seen her in more things since like some of these other movies. Because
she was in the Power of the Dog, which I haven't seen yet, but that one did win Best Picture for that year.
I didn't even see that.
Benedict Cumbersnatch.
She's been in a couple of TV series. She's in Pantheon right now.
Oh, she was old too. I guess she has been working.
Jeff. Just because she's not in the stuff that you watch doesn't mean she's not working.
I saw old.
The kid's not working.
Yeah, if you want to see her, then see her. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Done.
Scarlett Johansson, I think the last person. Oh, Rebel Wilson did, you know, she was funny. She was in like the Reek level where like they, you know, barely did anything. But when they said some jokes, shit was funny. Most of the time,
all of her stuff landed. That's the thing. Like she was like the comic relief, and everything. All of her beats landed. All of like she comes in, and he's like, "Yeah, we'll go ahead and give you a you know the whatever the ammo and the gun." And she comes up and just here's this, and here is your revolver.
It was actions from her that made me laugh the most. It was that scene,
yes,
and then the one at the end where she's like, "See that American? Go give him a hug." And then you see the bomb on the back of the kid. It's like, oh my god!
I love the her like face. After the gun, when she got the gun and Scarlett was just like, was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And she was like, whoa. She's like offended. Yeah, like, oh, yeah, what? Chill out. Jesus.
Or at the very beginning, I love it. We're like, the boys are going to learn how combat and fighting and trench digging and yada, yada, yada. And the women will learn how to get pregnant. And yeah, she's like, I've had 14 kids for Germany.
She was definitely funny. I liked mm-hmm. Reeks. I don't know what his real name, if somebody can pull that up. His banter with Sam Rockwell of the gay sexual tension. Thought that was hilarious.
That was great. Mm-hmm, that was great. Mm-hmm. Is it Luke Brendan Field?
No, it's Alfie Allen.
He was Finkel. Alfie Allen.
Mm. Finkel. He was Finkel in this, yeah.
Finkel. And then let's see, the last one would be Scarlett Johansson, which yes. I think I liked her acting. I thought the dad scene was kind of just felt out of place
you didn't
to
like
me.
It?
No, I liked the scene. I think it was pretty good. I just the accent. I think she had the worst fake accent of everybody. Okay. That was like my only issue with it. Yeah. And so it just like muffed up some other stuff. But other than that, she was good.
I'd be really interested to see that scene again without the accent, just because you can tell like she does. She's also very expressive with her eyes and with her face, and she can sell
emotion.
The scene. Just yes, she's very
accent.
Big with everything.
Yeah.
And so you can see like there is just this pain behind her eyes, and like she's pleading with JoJo in that scene, in that moment of like, hey, I am doing the best I can. Like, I know you don't understand what all is going on, and I can't tell you everything. But, you know, I love you and I'm trying my damnedest. Please, you know, accept what I can do for you. So I'd love to see that, because I think that she has these powerful moments that really mm-hmm. come through, even though it's a little bit quirky and a little bit goofy.
Sure.
Especially with that accent.
Yeah. But I mean, for me, like I thought she did great, too, because like I think even just initially it seems so much bigger to me because of the fact that she is just so well known in pop culture as Black Widow from Marvel. And this is one of the first things I feel like I saw her outside of that role. And I was just like,
yeah,
oh, it's like, it's amazing to see her doing something so like original and quirky or whatever.
Yeah.
Granted, she was in like Eight-Legged Freaks like several years ago.
She was in Eight-Legged Freaks?
Dude, she was like a teenager in that movie.
Oh my Lanta.
You have to look that shit up.
I just pulled up her. I mean, she's fantastic in everything. Lost in Translation, her. You give me a bad Scarlett Johansson performance and I'll call you a liar. Dude, I cannot.
Go see Eight-Legged Freaks and maybe make a decision.
We gotta figure out how to get the master and her on here.
She was the teenager that like tased the dude in the balls.
Dude, it's been a long time. It's been a very long time. But I've debated on getting that on a nostalgia episode sometime. I really debate it. It's gigantic spiders. Like I always think of the one that burrows.
The trapdoor like, spider.
I think yes, that
it
one.
Pops
I always
open
think of that
and
one.
Grabs
pops
people.
Up and, like, grabbed.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I want to rewatch that someday.
To roll right back into Jojo Rabbit, I liked, because I kind of forgot the first time watching it of like where the rabbit comes from on Jojo Rabbit, because I just think of it as one giant word, you know, one giant title. Yeah. But I like that they're like, you know, the rabbit's scared, but he goes out into the scary, scary world every freaking day.
Yeah,
dude. But it's like, honestly, think about like bees. Bees are like the bravest motherfuckers in the world. They're like, look at this thing that's 100 times bigger than me. I'm going to go fucking stab it. And then I'm probably going to die, but I'm going to do it.
Stab it with my poison
butt.
I'm
going to do it. That's my motivation. No, but I did. I also, speaking of, I love the title drop. I love where it came from. It felt very organic.
Jojo Rabbit.
Jojo Rabbit. Jojo Rabbit.
Those kids are psychopaths.
Yeah, they're mean.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the dude just grabbed the bunny. Oh,
well, he's a Nazi.
That was such a sad, sad scene.
Yes. Yes, it was.
And he threw it. God.
I cannot believe she's in eight-legged freaks. I cannot believe this.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
David Arquette. Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You'll have to watch that movie too, Brandon. You'll have to watch it too.
Oh, I'm definitely going to.
For sure.
Yeah, next nostalgia round, we just have to remember someone has
weirdly,
to pick it.
The guy hasn't made like anything else. No, he made without a paddle, Nature's Calling, but it's a video.
Hmm.
Anyways, I'm back. yeah, acting. Fantastic. No,
yeah,
I jumped
acting,
to the,
acting, no, it was. It was astonishingly spectacular for, you know, Taika's style is kind of just, yeah, you know, just have fun with it. And what happens, happens. And I'm not going to take anything like super seriously. We're not going to do 87 takes, you know, anything like that. And it still came across just exceptionally well. And everything just mm-hmm. fit and fell into place for this one. I don't know. And yeah. So, yeah, I love that part of it. But I think also that comes with the writing. I really honestly mm-hmm. do. Like, you put decent writing in front of good actors and you're going to get a really good performance. You're going to mm-hmm. have an easier time making a better, more entertaining, more thorough movie than with a weaker script. And this is definitely, I mean, I know he won the Oscar for it, which is mm-hmm. well deserved, but this is definitely the best thing that he's written by far.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so too.
I don't know. Love and Thunder had a lot of layers that you didn't really like dive into. Sure. But yeah,
okay, on the rewatch, yeah, you'll find eight reasons why you love Thor, Love, and Thunder, but we'll do that for another.
But this one is just, it's got such a diverse style of writing and directing and stuff,
dude,
like storytelling. Like, there's
so
even a horror scene. There's a horror
scene
when the kid goes in there and sees her for the first time, and then they do that classic shot of the hand coming around the corner and, like, the push in. It's like, it's got so much diversity in it, and it's so smart.
Extremely smart.
One of my random notes, Brandon. Everybody, all the characters in this movie is from Germany. So this is a love letter to Germany, correct? That's what the, is that not
a love
correct?
Letter to Germany or Nazi Germany?
Well, they all weren't Nazis. So if they all were Nazis, I would say that. But that was in Hunt for the Wilder People. Everybody in the movie was from New Zealand. And it was but apparently he did say it was kind of a letter to like his mom.
Yeah.
From when he started getting having kids and stuff and realizing.
Where's his mom from?
Excuse me? She's the
Where's
Nazi.
Where's his mom from?
She's the Nazi.
I think New Zealand.
I will say the what's her face? Ilsa was in fact family friends with Taika.
Yes.
And
I was wondering about that. You dropped that a little bit earlier. Do you have any, I'm just curious, do you have any like other background info about that, or is that the extent of what you know?
Let's see, what do I know? So
I'm just curious.
His family was friends with the family that she was a part of. So then he knew her through that of them being friends. And that's everything. That's all I had. Sorry.
Okay, gotcha. Cool.
According to IMDb,
that's what I was looking for. God,
I'm so much more satisfied now.
According to IMDb, she was in the theater scene in New Zealand, and so that's how they kind of all knew each other.
Ah, New Zealand again.
It's almost like that's where he's from.
It's like a love letter to New.
I love, but just to harp on the writing a little bit more, like most of my notes are just the one-liners and the jokes, like the fucking she's a female Jewish Jesse Owens.
That one made me very. I was like Jesse Owens reference. Love it. Hell yeah, dude.
What would you do? I'd burn the house down and blame Winston Churchill.
Dude, a lot of good lines. How'd you feel about the music, Brandon? In general, but at the very beginning, I thought it was hilarious and I thought it was perfect that they did like they made Hitler feel like the Beatles, like coming to coming back to Germany. They're doing the music and all the cuts and stuff. And it was a very interesting, very like juxtaposed soundtracks, I feel like, on this one, which I liked. I thought it worked.
Yeah, no, I thought it was fantastic. I loved not a lot of movies open, like, you know, with the studio credits or what are those tags called with Fox 20th Century or whatever it is. Like, that has its own theme song, right? It has its own theme music. Not a lot of movies incorporate the movie's music in with those. And so right from the get-go, the score kind of already puts us in this different headspace and this satirical, you know, whimsical kind of mentality. And then, yeah, going with the Beatles in German. I want to see I want to hold your hand. That was fantastic.
Oh, was that?
And it does.
I was wondering about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved it. I thought it worked perfectly. And they did that multiple times too throughout, where it would be mm-hmm. like the German version of the song. And I thought it was great. I absolutely helped us get into the type of movie, into the style of satire that we're watching.
I agreed.
Agreed.
Here.
So I keep going back to this, but I just was scrolling across a couple more lines with the with Sam Rockwell's character of no. We need dogs, not actual German shepherds.
Oh yes, the German fucking, shepherds in the room.
My hat was on the floor rolling. That was amazing. And then of course, like, you're going to give Jojo a job. He's going to feel included. And she goes, "Well, he could help with the propaganda, or he could walk the clones." And that wasn't even ever touched on. Yeah.
The clones.
It was so random.
So also, those were the Jojo's little brother.
Yes.
They had twins, and then they just copied the twins. So that was actually Jojo's little brother.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Dude, that was funny. I have bomb-proof legs.
Oh, God. Those were absolutely just great. Absolutely great.
I also noticed that in one of the intro montages with all the kids and stuff, there's that that shot where the kid throws the axe at the tree and it bounces back and gets into his leg.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That reminds me of Next Goal Wins, when like they kick the ball at the goal and it comes back and hits some person in the face.
Yeah.
I feel like he likes that gag. I'm going to be looking for it in future stuff.
No. Jeffrey, that was an homage to his movie.
Is it not a trope at this point?
a trope is his own trope. I'll look back his stuff. Did they ever do that? Did they never do that in Hunt for Wilder People? That feels like such a Hunt for Wilder People.
I know, it totally does.
I think
does.
He did. I feel like he did.
Hey, it's a trope now. Yes.
Yeah.
Woo. Tremage.
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 But then also, I'm sorry, I just keep coming back to this because I'm just scrolling through random notes and my mm-hmm. thoughts are so all over the place. But it's what allows the whimsical, you know, satire and the fun and the all these jokes to land and be so impactful is because there's actually like a theme to it. And there's actually like meat and potatoes underneath all of this stuffing, where with Elsa's character, she says, you know, you're not a Nazi, right? You're a 10-year-old kid who likes swastikas and dressing up in funny outfits and who wants to be part of a club. And that's really mm-hmm. what it's all about. Right? That's what the movie, its theme really is you're an outsider and you're looking for connection and you're looking for, you know, someone to tell you that you're good enough and to welcome you into something. Mm-hmm. And it just so happens to be Nazi Germany. And that to me is just the most interesting thing about it. Then you can dress it up all you want and make mm-hmm. all the jokes you want. And that's why it works so well.
Yeah. Finding his place in the world, you know, mm-hmm. losing people close to him. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do? Yeah, it's very... God, it's so good. It's we deep. Should watch that.
I know.
I might pick
I recommend this one. And the same with the editing, though. I think the editing is also top-notch. We touched on it a little bit, but I think it's really tight. Like, the pacing is really quick, but it's never too quick. I don't think we ever miss anything. I don't feel like anything, you know, was ever dragging at any moment. I thought it was editing wise was spectacular.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's again where I feel like it's just a mix of different styles. Like they hold on longer shots when they need to be held on.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like put like dolly ins and like quick pans and tilts and stuff.
They didn't have a ton of camera movements. They did have some. They did mm-hmm. have some. There was mostly felt like mostly about framings. Like they're really, you know, matching Wes Anderson, like we said. But they did have some camera movements and it was technical. It was
particularly
clean.
I don't know if you guys remember, but particularly that like horror styled scene, he does like a slow push in towards the little doorway and then her hand comes out.
Yes.
Well, so, he like, does. Yeah. He mixes the styles, which is really cool.
He does. Dude. But he also he uses them very well and very effectively because like he does that exact same push in after Rosie dies, right? After we discover that she's been hung, you know, and Jojo comes with his knife and goes to stab Elsa. Like there's also that slow push in, right? So it's, you know, this different type of horror kind of film and this different type of usage of this exact same shot.
Mm-hmm.
Gets a lot of mileage out of the same gimmick,
and that's what really excites me about cinematography. Like, even though, you know, when people think of great cinematography, you think of really like dramatic kind of stuff, but I like when it can be simpler like this too. Like I'll use stuff like simpler things, like examples like the whale. I liked the cinematography out of the whale because they chose that more compressed aspect ratio and it felt like it worked because for certain reasons. Simpler stuff, but I think it can still be effective. Same thing with focal lengths for different types of dialogue happening between characters. You can make them feel closer or further away from each other. It's just a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I know you disagreed with the whale. You
said, hey,
I can't remember if you liked the whale or not.
That's fine. I'm
going
to cut
that
out. You're not allowed to say good things about the whale. So that no one heard that. I promise you. Or I'll just bleep it out. Maybe I'll get it.
Let me go back. Okay, let's talk about the Batman cinematography.
Hey, that was the only good part of it, man.
Do you know who shot that?
It had to have good stuff. That was the only good part of it. Batman doesn't know freaking Spanish and shit.
We can get along when Greg Fraser is a shot stuff. At least there's that line.
No chemistry between him and the cat. It was ridiculous.
Not like in the Quiet Place day one.
No, Quiet Place. That cat was so much better.
That cat was amazing.
That cat was amazing. And I do want to correct a Sam Rockwell 3 years in a row with a movie that got nominated for Best Picture. It was Three Billboards. And then it was Vice. And then it was Jojo Rabbit. So 3 years in a row from 17, 18, 19, he was in a movie that was nominated for Best Picture. I think it was a fairly big part. I don't remember how big of his part he had in Vice.
He was a smaller role, but a pretty big role at the same time because he was George W. Bush.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Bigger.
So he was a pivotal character, but he was a side character.
Pivotal side character.
That's where Rockwell likes to live.
Did you see the trivia of Taika said they shot multiple takes of a lot of the scenes in a range of sadness to comedy, like sliding scale wise. And then
I didn't.
So they shot a majority of the film with multiple takes in varying degrees of comedy or drama. He would film a scene with either a lot of humor injected or a lot of drama, and then pick his mix in post-production and see how, you know, the path he wanted to go, which is interesting, which I wonder if that was super annoying for actors. Can't keep track. Can't keep track of what the story is at all, right? Realistically, you can't keep track of, like, your character arc very well. Have I been sad this whole time? Or have I been happy this whole time? Interesting.
Yeah. Fascinating.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
All right.
Something to ponder.
Something to think on and sit while I watch Firefly. Let's see.
I have one more question for you guys.
Go nuts.
How did you guys feel about the ending? Because it kind of like ends on an open note, but I mean, there were some elements that were kind of like came back around based on like character development and stuff.
Brandon, from a character development standpoint, like it was fantastic because we see this full, you know, transition from someone who thinks, you know, Nazis are the best and we 100% need Germany to win the war and patriotism is the number one thing and all Jews are evil and all this, you know, horrible stuff, and then learns, you know, they are human beings and they're being ostracized just like I'm being ostracized. So why would I pick out someone who I know exactly how they feel and kind of learns that. And I love that from a character progression standpoint. From a story standpoint, I'd love to know what the hell he's going to do and who's going to take care of him and what, you know, is going to happen to this
Hitler,
awkward, shy little boy.
Hitler is going to take like the Snape turn and end up being a good guy. And he really, truly
he was
loved.
A good guy the whole time.
Yeah, no, well, he was in love with Scarlett Johansson. Then she died. Then he was like, okay, well, now I have to protect this kid. I'm going to emotionally abuse him the whole time, but everyone's going to be okay with it. Because I had a bonus.
It's an interesting direction, for sure. I'm glad they cut that out.
Cool. Nah, he's going to take him. No, he's going to take care of himself. I have in here that it says, tying the shoe to end it. I don't remember what the last shot was. Was it him tying the shoe?
The last shots of them are them dancing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because okay. dancing is for those who are free, right? And that's another, you know, strong theme as well throughout. And so he finally learns how to tie his shoes, and then they get to dance, and it's all a happy ending, presumably, for these guys. But yeah, the last shot is not of a shoelace.
Yeah, like he ties her shoe before they leave the house.
Suck it, Brandon. I will say he did get over his... Obviously, he was upset by his mom, but I felt like they moved on pretty damn quickly, story-wise.
Yeah.
Really fast.
I feel like I had another...
What would Yorkie do?
Him dropping the rocket launcher and it shooting off was fucking hilarious.
It's fucking great.
I also liked the fuck off Hitler scene.
When he kicks him through the window.
It's PG-13 and they use their one fuck really effectively.
Hell yeah, they
and
did.
It's when they dramatically kicked his ass out the window.
It was so dramatic. It was definitely dramatic. I liked
great
the
placement.
We didn't mention costumes and production design, which I think the production design was good. Like everything was believable, but I think the costumes were, and I know they got nominated for an Oscar, I believe, for the costumes and makeup, which I thought was, God, they felt very authentic. They felt very real.
I believed it.
I loved his Hitler's gunshot in his head wound at the end before he got kicked out. I thought they did a fantastic job also.
Hair makeup was honestly outstanding. But then the costume design was just perfection.
Yeah, it seemed on point.
Absolutely. And I was reading something about just on again the IMDb trivia that the uniforms that Hitler wear throughout the movie are consistently chronological with his life and power, and how Jojo's opinion of Hitler changes as well. Even those kind of help to tell the story as well. And it's not necessarily just historically accurate. It also, moves the character forward, as well.
Interesting.
All right. Anyways, anything else about Jojo Rabbit before we, start rating?
I don't think so. I think that my own thing again is just for everyone who's going to watch this film in the future, just pay attention to the dialogue because it is a lot funnier when you dissect it, I think.
Mm-hmm. And it's just good storytelling, like cleverly written out, cleverly played out.
Yeah.
Solid.
Really clever.
Really fucking clever. I agree.
Clever girl.
That is the wrong movie, Jeff. I am wearing that shirt.
Shit. Well, I did it for you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're the clever girl.
Oh, shucks, Jim. Well, now I'm so excited to grade.
Woo, grades. This entire time while we've been doing the Zoom call, I love that Brandon's body disappears.
Oh, my God, dude. It's so annoying. It is so annoying. I've been staring at it the whole time.
For the video people, it's
dude,
just like.
I've been trying.
It doesn't even match
to like
background.
Maneuver
the
shoulder.
It
and then, like I'll just sit still, and it'll be fine, and it'll still disappear. So I don't know. I can't.
I'm not crazy, right, Jeff? The background doesn't match, or is it just so
tiny?
The
only thing
I can
think
of
is the coral pattern on the bottom right of his frame. Like it's like, I don't know. It's like
it looks like it repeats. Confused. Like I don't know. It's so annoying. Yeah, I also have noticed that, Jeff. yours has been good. Anyways. Nothing moves in yours.
I've got effects, and that's all I care for.
I'm not even positive if I can change mine. I didn't even try. It just popped up. I'm not even trying messing with anything.
Solid.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, Mateo. So
yeah,
this was
as
your
tradition.
Pick. So why did you pick Jojo Rabbit?
Oh yeah, that's right. Hey, oh, because yeah. I really liked
Jojo.
It and it felt like a different kind of war movie. All right, you're welcome. For Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, it's a war movie. We're doing war movies.
Yeah, we're doing war movies. Not just
we
good
are doing
movies.
War movies.
They're not just good movies we know of. Yeah. Even though it feels like that sometimes.
I know, right?
And I do feel like my prediction will continue. I haven't watched Full Metal Jacket yet, but I, because I think I'm going to grade this highly. I know I have to go first because it's mine, which I'm very upset by that I have to go first. Because I do truly, truly love this movie. And I, you know, when I picked it, I was like, oh, I remember it being so funny and then having that one deep, deep moment. And it did have the deep moment, but it had other moments that I've kind of forgot. I forgot how funny it was. I forgot how technically like Wes Anderson he made it and like the different styles. So I think beyond just enjoying it, because there's some movies, because this, I think this is going to be a 9 at least. Some of the other movies in my 9s are like, I just greatly enjoy it. Jurassic Park, I think it's a boost because I, how much I like it, but I think it was so technically fantastic. My only problem where I'm at is I don't think it's as technically as good or like well made as Joker or 1917. I think those two are, it, while this is still a fantastic, like, you know, it's going to have a 9. So if I want to put it at 9.25, either I had to enjoy it personally so much more than those, or I got to bump those up, which I don't want to bump those up. I think it's going to be on the same level as, is it on the same level as Fight Club for me? That's a lot. I feel like Fight Club might be up. I'm going to go Go ahead.
I'll say it when I start grading.
I'm going to go 9 flat, and I think Fight Club might be a little low, and maybe that changes in the future, but I'm going to go 9 flat, and frankly, it matching Castaway feels perfect to me. Because I just feel like Castaway had very technically good stuff, not as good. I'm going to go 9 flat because I think I think it's really good.
Nice.
And I'm just trying to justify. Feels like a 9. It's a 9. It's on the board. Can't do anything else about it. Except I am going to
stop talking. You can't change it.
I'm going to change it to another capital J. So it's JoJo because I personally like it.
Oh, because you like it.
That's how I write Coco. My brother's dog's name is Coco. And I write Coco with capital C every single time.
Nice.
Anyways, go ahead. So 9 flat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Sweet. Yeah. Jeff, what you got?
Yeah, possibly. No.
I'm just kidding.
I was laughing earlier because you brought up the exact movies ratings that I was comparing this to as well. Like I was going to say,
the same person.
My Joker ratings at 9.5, my 1917 ratings at 9.5. I have Fight Club at 9.25. All of these are very solid structured movies. Those ones that I just listed are more of epics. Which is true. Hard to compare it for something like this as well. But gosh, like, I mean, just like everything we discussed during this episode, there are so many things to appreciate from a technical standpoint, no matter how simple. And I mean, all the subtleties and like the comedy, everything was just played out really well. The actors did really well. This is a movie I can get on board with, like wanting to shoot someday. Like it's just so very smart and very clever. So I think I have to put it in the 9s as well. I think I'm going to go 9.25, though.
Ooh, that seems reasonable. I really was debating, like, when I watched the movie, I kind of, like, think about it a little bit. And I was really sitting there and going, do I want to bump 1917 up to 9.5 to make this a 9.25? Because I do think 1917 is better than this movie. You know, not a lot. But I do, I think it deserves to be above Jojo Rabbit, even though I do love Jojo Rabbit. But yeah, I don't know. 9 feels good. 9.25 is reasonable. Damn it. Brand's going to go higher.
I just like it better.
I'm going to be the jackass.
We've got would this be the third 10 that he's done? Let me see.
Yes, it would. Yes, it would. It won't be a 10. It'll be a 9.75. Sorry, go ahead.
Look at his face. It could be a 10.
No, watch this. Watch this, Jeff. He's just going to be like, you know what? I know I said a lot of good things about it. Frankly, I kind of hated it. So I'm going to go 5 flat. 5 flat.
Yeah, I don't know if I can go above 6, honestly.
What's that one Harry Potter movie I fucking hated?
Really, it really rubs me the wrong way, you know, with its humor and its quirky aesthetics, and it's
got fucking Nazis semi-accurate. In,
I just listened to, I just listened to the Okja episode again, and I loved his reasoning times. For being like, I know, I just didn't like this animal. It was too human.
I know, it was too smart. No,
I
no,
love
no.
that reason. These kids were just too human, man. I don't know.
Yeah, if we can, dumb them down a little episode. Bit.
Everyone go listen to our Okja, where Jeff and I just badger Brandon the whole time. What?
Sit there stewing in my own.
I ate a steak.
I tried it rare this time.
I know.
I named it first, actually.
Oh, Okja, 5.25 Okja.
I did not care for it at all. So no, this is not the Okja of this month, thankfully.
That's next.
No, I'm sitting over here looking at my gratings.
Oh, he froze and... also. Damn. Oh. No, power through. You're fine. We don't need to hear it.
Yeah, there we go.
So I'm sitting over here looking at my gratings, and I'm struggling about exactly where to put it, because I definitely love this movie, and I watched it for, I think it was the first time since I saw it in theaters when it first came out. And I just kind of fell in love with it again about how enjoyable it was, about how mm-hmm. funny it was. Like, I just forgot just the humor of
it's
it.
Funny. It's sad.
But then again,
it's so technically good.
It is. But it's got super, super good, themes as well. Like, really extremely human elements to this. It's got a good story. It's got a good backbone that everything can play off of. And so all the elements are kind of just working as in synchrony with each other. And so I like, there's nothing really wrong with this movie at all. I just don't know if I like it as much as things like Poor Things or with Mad Max, or with even something like Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Like, I think I like those movies
bit
more.
I was right, Jeff. Bye.
But I definitely love this movie, and I definitely enjoy everything that this movie brings. But I think I'm going to put it somewhere on the level of like a Midsommar, The Revenant, The Hateful Eight, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, even where it's a 9 flat for me, just because I don't know. It's just I've seen, kind of like Jeff said, more epic movies that do more things for me that I enjoy a little bit better. But there's absolutely nothing wrong with this. I enjoyed this, you know, from start to finish. And I really recommend, recommend this one.
Hey, it's always nice not being solo last. Hey, I appreciate it. Granted, in Brandon's scale, he did not love this. I have some issues with this. All right. 2 9s and a 9.25. Not our highest ever rated film, which was last week, 1917. Mm-hmm. But still, we are still working towards War being the highest rated movie club of all time at 9.5 average. 9.5 average is blowing the other ones out of order. Hopefully next week, Brandon doesn't disappoint us. Hopefully Brandon doesn't disappoint us and ruin everything.
I've also never seen like Full Metal Jacket all the way through. I've seen like scenes of it, but that's about it.
It's like it's like when you're playing and everybody gets a birdie and you're the last one to finish out, and it's like, you also better get a birdie, because if you don't and you fuck up that hole, everyone's gonna be annoyed with you.
Watch another like Raging Bull situation or something.
I'm gonna hate this no matter what. I'm gonna love it. I'll just bash it the whole time and then be like, okay, 9.5.
Yeah, Matt's going in predetermined to not like this movie. Jeff's going in going, you know what? Fuck this movie. This is the Okja of War. I can't stand ratings.
That means I'll like it.
That is a good point.
Reverse psychology. Yeah, no, I'm shocked that Jeff, you haven't seen this, just with it being a Kubrick movie, with all of us, you know, going to film school, and that just being one of those kind of movies that everyone's like, oh, you got to see this if you're in film school. You got to do this, that, and the other. Yeah. And so, yeah.
Like my teachers, they didn't show it to me.
Yeah, well, same. I had to seek it out on my own.
I see. Yes, you succumbed to the peer pressure.
Absolutely, I did. Have you met me?
What are you talking about,
Jeff? Have you met me? God damn, dude.
I like in film school, it's kind of funny. People just said like, oh, you haven't seen this? I'm just like, yeah, well, you know, I just didn't get around to it. And we'll see.
No, I have not. Give me that camera.
I'm trying to learn camera stuff right now.
Please
we'll
stop
talk later when I get good at this.
Yeah. Don't talk to me right now. I don't have opinions.
I'm learning what ISO is versus ASA. They're the same thing, basically.
Oh,
okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, ASA that. Is an older term, and then they updated it to ISO.
I love
now
that
you know.
Jeff had to make the break to explain it to us. What we watched.
What we watched. Sweet. Well, I'm very excited to talk next week with you guys about Full Metal Jacket. This was a good one on JoJo, and I don't know if we've locked in what we're doing in August, but to finish out the... Are we finished with the month with Full Metal Jacket, or are we playing some games at the end of the month? What are we doing?
I believe we're going to... I assume we're going to play some games, because all of our scheduling is kind of up in the air. I'm not really positive. Who's going to be home, who's not going to be home, so we'll probably end up being games. Maybe we'll get a surprise. If someone can think of one, if someone comments, if someone messages and gives a suggestion, then I'm totally down to do a fourth one. But, you know, that fourth one is if people do want to vote, suggest anything in any of the months, not just this one. Moving forward also, if you have an idea, you want one, let us know, and we'll do that one. I would love that. I would absolutely love that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so same. Let us know, because we're all over socials, so there's no excuse to not find us. You know, we're here and we're listening and we're ready.
Not physically,
I got my Leave notifications turned on, so talk to us, please, dear God.
I mean, you'll be the only one, so we will comment back.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will.
Jump on, be like, Matt's a bitch, and be like, yes, I am. Why particularly? Oh, okay.
Is there any particular reason? Oh, no, just in general. Ah, okay, cool.
General bitches.
Well, until then, you guys, thanks for stopping by. Like, subscribe, do all the good stuff for us. Enjoy the movies, whether you're seeing them at home or if you're going out to the theaters. Be safe. Have a happy, healthy, wonderful life. And tie your shoes.
Hey.
Hey.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.